Archivists and librarians are always searching for a more perfect recording medium, a way to store books, audio, or film for the ages. Recordable CDs may meet that promise. The discs hold volumes of information. They can be played back on countless computers or CD players. They are very durable. But recordable CDs are still a pretty new technology. It's hard to be certain just how long they'll really last. As NPR's Larry Abramson reports, some experts say it's best to assume that no recording will last forever.
The world is full of aging recordings. Owners who can't bear to see their treasures die bring them to a place called Vidipax for a second life. Vidipax is a restoration company based in a warren of offices on New York's West Side. The place is littered with old recordings on every medium, from wire to audio tape to film. They're found in America's attics or in the National Archives. Company founder Jim Lidner holds up the latest mystery submission.
Here you see a box of stuff, totally unlabeled. They're all wire recordings. Lord knows what's on them. We don't have a clue. Some of them may be recordings of people's grandparents. This says, "Music Bad Wow."
Vidipax gets relics of all kinds. The goal here is to save these recordings by moving them to something better. In many cases, that means moving them to a recordable compact disc.
I saw a show in London many years ago of portraits, some 15 or 20 of them, all made from one
In a nearby editing room, engineers are transferring this 1952 panel discussion at the Museum of Modern Art to a recordable CD. Vidipax can do a lot of things that consumers cannot to ensure each disc is near perfect. First, they use a CD that's designed to work well with their CD burner. Vidipax audio director Ed Beatty says they then stick each completed disc into an electronic error checker.
And then it gives you an overall grade A, B, C, D, and F, just like in school.
Discs with a few errors may play just fine in one CD player, but Beatty says you might get a rude surprise if you insert a faulty disc into another player.
That's the problem. It may work on one, and you put it right in the next one, and it won't play at all.
If you want to know how serious that problem can be, just listen. This is what happened to an archive recording of NPR's Morning Edition. The disc sounds just fine on most CD players and computers, but on some machines the recording is buried in static. Professionals also use CDs that are designed to last as long as possible. How long is that? Ask the industry, and they'll tell you their best CD brands will last longer than you will. Ed Roble is with Kodak.
The studies we've done on our Ultima Gold media indicate it's going to last well in excess of 100 years if it's maintained in office conditions and it's handled appropriately.
The Ultima Gold is Kodak's top-of-the-line disc. Only trouble is the company is phasing out that disc for consumer use. Institutions willing to buy big batches can still get CDs that use pure gold inside, but average consumers will have to trust the recordings to a gold-silver alloy that's cheaper to manufacture and, according to the company, almost as reliable. Manufacturers say there is a lot consumers themselves can do to make sure their recordable CDs endure. Ed Roble says average users should do what serious archivists do, handle with care.
They try to keep them in the dark. They try to keep them in the jewel case so they minimize handling. They keep them in normal room conditions so it doesn't get too humid, too hot, or too cold. And they're careful when they handle them.
Many organizations see recordable CDs as salvation for recordings that are doomed to deteriorate sooner or later. Take the Smithsonian's Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. For decades, the museum had been casually recording lectures like this one onto regular old cassette tapes.
I turn, I bump into something, it's my life raft.
As a pilot during World War II, George Gay fought in the Battle of Midway. In 1989, he told an audience how he managed to save himself after his plane crashed into the sea, smack in the middle of one of the war's biggest naval battles.
I see our dive bombers coming. You'll never know how beautiful that is, but there's a problem there, too. I'm sitting on the bullseye.
Gay survived the Battle of Midway. To ensure that his lecture would endure, the library is moving it and dozens of others to recordable CD. But they're also making a new cassette tape backup. Museum staff say that's because even if the CDs themselves last a long time, there's always a chance that the entire technology could become obsolete. It's happened before. Back at Vidipak's restoration studios in New York, Jim Lindner takes me to a room full of antique recording machines. At one time, all of these things were seen as somehow revolutionary.
This is how we get what we call orphan recordings. We get recordings that we no longer have the technology to play back anymore. And as you look around the room, we can see machines that were very, no doubt, touted by their manufacturers being wonderful technology, but they never made it in the market, and as a result, any recordings made on them are really no longer able to be played back unless at a place like ours where we specialize in that.
His homemade museum is full of good ideas that needed a little more work. There's an early version of the VCR that recorded radio programs onto a once popular recording medium, a spool of wire.
What it is it's a time delay machine. So what you would do is when you left to work, you would put it on and you would tell it what time to start, and it would start recording your favorite radio program at whatever time you had set on it. So the way we use things haven't changed all that much, but the technology and the way we do it have changed dramatically.
Jim Lindner constantly has to cobble together new gadgets to play back old tapes or wire recordings. It's hard but doable compared to what restorers of the future will face.
If you have a CDR that's made now, and 300 years someone's going to try to play that back, I mean, where do they start? Now when you buy a camcorder, if you ever looked inside, you'll see there's hardly any parts in it. They're all couple of big chips that have lots and lots and lots of transistors in them. Well, when the manufacturer stops making that part, that's it, it's done. When they come out with next year's model, you know, they make a certain amount of spare parts, but very few. What are you going to do if you had to try to recreate that 50 or 100 years from now? It would be an impossible task.
So for collectors, perhaps the best thing about digital information isn't that it will last, but that it can be moved around easily. It can be transferred to a computer hard drive or to whatever new storage medium engineers dream up. The past century of recording technology may have this lesson to offer. To survive, information has to be nomadic, ready to migrate from one home to another. Otherwise, your precious collection could be lost forever. Larry Abramson, NPR News.